This is the Feminem Podcast, the official podcast of Feminem, discussing all things femme, a little bit of EM, and everything in between. I'm Jenny Beck-Esme, editor-in-chief of Feminem. Now this week on our Fix 17 content, we have Doctor Who, Doctor You, Maximize Your Media with Dr. Amy Ho. Now Amy is clinical faculty and an associate medical director with Integrative Emergency Services. And on top of that, she's a nationally published writer and speaker in issues of health disparities, medical humanities, and physician training. Now her interests really lie in sharing this insider view of healthcare with non-medical professionals and lay people, which she's done through things like primetime television, newspaper, radio, and pretty much every avenue available. She's great at this, she's a great speaker, and she really wants to give you some tips on how you can maximize your media. Enjoy.
So my name is Amy Ho, and I think the great irony in me doing this talk about maximizing your media is I'm sitting in a room surrounded by strong, influential women who have started movements like Feminem, who have been on CNN, who have tens of thousands of Twitter followers on their advocacy and all other sorts of social media, and I'm the one doing the talk on maximizing your media. So I am 27. I am 3 months out of residency. I'm about 12 clinical shifts into my new faculty role. And the great part about media and your story is that none of that matters. What matters is your story and your experience and how you can sell that. So if I can do it, you can certainly do it. So we will start this story where I started. So who has ever felt like this when thinking about media? You got a face for radio and a voice for print. Anyone? Because that was definitely me for a very long time. And I like to tell this anecdote about when I was in grade school. My mom took me in for the school picture. He took my shots. I was very awkward and uncomfortable, had braces, badly cut bangs. And my mom, oh so lovingly, turns to the photographer and says, "Wouldn't she be a great model?" And the photographer looks at me and says, "Let me see your hands. Maybe you can be a hand model." So this is a bigger part of what we all suffer from imposter syndrome. So we are absolutely plagued by imposter syndrome, that feeling that you are just a woman or just a physician or just a female physician. And this is obstacle one in maximizing media, because you can't project your voice if you don't believe that you have a voice. And I am just a drop in the bucket of this big conference in showing you that you do have a voice that needs to be projected. But the best news I want to bring you is that you do not have to be Esther Chu to do it. But it does certainly help, Esther Chu. So you actually all have a very unique perspective. And the example I'm going to start with is actually something we all hold in common, which is clinical shifts. So think about it. To the common man, our job is very unusual. Every single day you are on shift, you touch a stranger's butt. This is very, very odd for common society. And to the common man, this is a fascinating and mysterious thing that we go through every day. But yet, this is just another day in the life of an ER physician, just another day at the office. But it's still a very unusual one. That's a story that you could tell. So kind of funny anecdotes like that aside, the ER is a really unique place because we are unique individuals in society. And what I mean by that is that we are highly pedigreed, we are highly educated, we are highly socialized. We are the elite, and whether or not you like it, we are the 1%. And yet, who we treat is in a very different class than who we often feel like we belong to. And what I mean by that is that other people of social and political influence in areas of privilege that we sit in do not interact with the experiences of life that we do. We take care of addicts, of the homeless, of the terminally ill, of the poor, of the derelict, of the shunned of society. We are the ones who respond to mass disasters like Vegas, like Houston, like Puerto Rico. We pronounce death, we deliver life. We are some of the most insightful beings when it comes to commentary on society. And that is why your voice matters, because there is not a single person in this room who cannot speak eloquently and profoundly to any of those topics. And the ER is a place where every class, every race, every type of person comes to mix and marinate, and we are the ones that bear witness to it. So this is not a talk necessarily about what a unique snowflake you are, although we all are, but to prove to you that we need to get over this obstacle of feeling like you don't have a voice, because not even getting into the women stuff, the being the first female partner in your group, being first female faculty, being the first female physician in your entire family, even the first female who's gone to college in your entire family, those are stories that inspire not only women in medicine, but women in America. I'm not even going to get into that. I'm just talking about work, and you already have something to say. So when it comes to media, though, as an ER physician, we are at a huge advantage compared to some of our colleagues in other fields, primarily because of this. Most physicians have to do media to market their practice. People do our marketing for us. We are at no lack of patients, and as a result, we have the voice and the insight to be able to spur social change, to ask for things that could actually benefit people, to even seek, yes, world peace. And ultimately, we get to control the discourse. So now that we've gotten over the you have a voice part, where can you share your voice? Literally anywhere. We are in a technological age where everyone can have a podcast, everyone can have a blog, everyone can tweet, and you can have your words not only seen by other people, but followed by other people. And I want to open this whole discussion of actually a story about how I got started. So 5 years ago, I was 21, I was a third year medical student having just finished, not even knowing I was going to emergency medicine yet. I was intensely frustrated coming out of third year of medical school with that feeling of you are just a student. So feeling a little bit wise, now that I only had about a month left of third year clinical rotations, I wrote an email to some of the soon-to-be third years in my medical class, giving advice of how I felt I had evolved during third year. And one of my friends actually emailed me back and said, hey, this is really great. You should share it. So I thought, great, that is easier said than done. So I sat down on Google, and I Googled medical article submission. And at the time, KevinMD was the first thing that popped up, which is now a very popular social media blog. So I submitted to KevinMD, I polished up that email, and I literally wrote a cold email to what I think the address was, oped@kevinmd.com. And then about an hour later, I got an email in my inbox. I opened it up, and it said, thank you for your submission. We'll respond in 10 to 14 days. 10 to 14 days, they actually said that they were going to post it, and I was thrilled to find out that it was going to be shared, and now it sits at about 7,000 shares. So it turns out that I was not the only one that felt like I was just a medical student, that others shared my perspective, and I think that's a telling story, that anything you feel passionate enough to talk about, to write about, to post on EM Docs about, that is something that other people relate to you and would love to not feel like they are the only ones as well. So I do want to cover what some of these different avenues are. So print is obviously where I found my voice, because that was something I enjoyed doing. I like writing. I think it gives you time to think about it, to develop a topic, and then to really figure out the different angles of pitching it. And there are multiple print avenues, ranging from the Washington Post, to Wall Street Journal, to KevinMD, to Doximity, of which you can submit to. Ultimately, these slides will be available for you for just having this as a resource in case you want to find a place to submit. But the story about submissions is that you just have to be okay with getting rejected by a stock email. And that is really okay, because they don't know you from anyone and you don't know them from anyone. And you should feel very confident that this is rejection that gets to happen via a 10-word email. So it's not very, you know, profound or insulting in any sort of way. And so you get to have the freedom to cold submit to all sorts of different venues. And I linked in the op-ed project at the bottom here, which again will be in slides available to you. But on that link is a whole list of resources that are compiled on major news publications and how you can submit to them. And almost all of them are an email address with a certain format in your titles, in the title of your subject line in your email, followed by a submission of your article, either by a attachment or in plain text. It's really not hard, and it takes less than 30 seconds. So I encourage any of you to look at that list, choose a venue, and submit to these, because they will take it, and you will be surprised, and that will help build your confidence. There is, of course, other avenues of print as well. This is a magazine spread that I had done with health leaders actually when I was in residency. And we talked a lot about how nothing will be given to you, that you really do have to put yourself out there. I do believe that very strongly when it comes to maximizing your media, but I think that is, you need to be the one to kick it off. People will actually seek you, as they did in my experience here, based on things you have written. So for me, my path was having published in various venues, having been read by editors of other publications or producers of other media venues, then being asked by them to contribute content. So again, there are multiple print avenues that are accessible, and these are ones that you can also look by because they all are looking for content. We migrate a little bit over to books because I think this is another great avenue that we can look into, because compilations of articles and publications that you've had are very doable into turning into a book, not to mention there are multiple anthologies in which your articles can be picked up. My example here is one that was picked up for an anthology of articles done for medical students, and now you get to have a book publication on your dossier. In addition, if you have the commitment, you can always have the option of pitching to publishers. And if you remember that everyone is seeking content, publishers are too. And for books, these are a longer-term commitment than just writing an article. But ultimately, pitching a publisher is the same as pitching op-ed at kevinmd.com. You put together a subject line, you put together a cover letter, you put together actually just an outline of a book, not even the actual book, and then you see who answers back. In my experience, I started this process with thinking about doing a book about a year ago, and a year in, I have a signed deal with a publishing house actually in New York, having written just the first chapter of that piece and then having the outline of that book. And again, I pitched them when I was still a resident with not really enough experience to be writing a memoir, but you know, here we have it. and so I want to encourage you that if it is something that piques your interest, absolutely do pitch and ask for it. And again, if you Google submissions publishing house, you will find full lists of how to contact various editors. So beyond print, though, I think there are a lot of things that are a little bit more fun. And everyone is looking for content, and cross-posting is your friend. So if you have written an article about something or published in, you know, a piece of research on a topic, you are now an expert. And experts go on radio shows and talk shows and all sorts of other media. And so you should capitalize that and help utilize that to maximize what your potential is. So my example for this is radio. After I wrote a piece in the Chicago Tribune discussing alcoholics and how we treat them in the ER, a NPR channel in Chicago had actually contacted me to come on and talk about that exact topic. Similarly, NPR nationally can seek these, including the major shows, which will take submissions as well, and those are all available on their website. And there is always local morning shows that is looking for content. And when you think about it, these morning radio shows, as you're driving into work, will cover a squirrel who has made friends with a dog. So imagine what you can do to up the ante on their subjects. They also have all of their information available online under the Contact Us, and you can search what your major channels are. There's usually probably about 1 to 5 for every city, and contact them cold, and the editors will get back to you when they're either needing for content or when your content is appropriate, given things going on in current events. Television is where I think things are really fun. So this is a show that I did called Untold Stories of the ER. Anyone else in this audience done it? I'm kind of surprised if there isn't. Yep, there we go. So Untold Stories of the ER is a recreation show that is done by a couple producers whose son-in-law is actually an ER physician. And the whole premise of the show is we want ER docs to get on TV and tell their story and show some of the lightness of medicine, actually. So I think it's actually a... it's an okay show in terms of quality, but I think it is a very compelling one in being able to relate what our life is like to kind of the rest of the world. And these opportunities are also available as casting calls. So those are available everywhere from castinglife.com to being just on TLC's website asking for submissions to the network. There are also other types of shows like this, reality documentary ones, that are always looking for content as well. This is just, I bring this in mostly because I like this photo. This is also from Untold Stories of the ER of another episode. And the best part of this is that we are doing an LP and no one is wearing a mask because it messes up the microphones. And I think it's just that you have to have a little humor and a little bit of creativity when discussing television, but it is something that is very feasible and a good way to project yourself and have your face be known. News is also another channel. Again, if you have written something, published something, been a faculty member of something, you are now an expert, and people are looking for content. This was a segment that I did with Today Show about Chirac, which is a movie that came out a few months ago about the violence in Chicago, and I was very offended by the premise of the movie because the violence that we saw in my ER didn't feel like something that should have been the topic of a theatrical production done by Spike Lee. So the irony is that after writing this article, media came out and searched for me to come and speak about this. But I took it thinking that it was a good way to really bring realistic attention to an issue that I did think needed political action. I think also this is something that is a little bit less well known, but being a medical advisor for TV scripts is something you can also get into. There are multiple consulting agencies, mostly out of LA, that do medical writing for shows, and they need doctors that know a lot of things and can be creative about it to help them write shows, either commenting on how to run a code in shows, or I've done jobs where I've gone out and taught actors how to do chest tubes on camera just so it looks realistic. But these are also opportunities that are available, and you'll see them even sometimes on things like Doc Jobs, DOC Jobs, which is the Dropout Club, which is for people with a medical degree that are doing semi-medical consulting and jobs on the side. Then this is probably my most favorite topic, is the podcast and blogs. Who here is running a podcast right now or a blog and is here at this conference looking to interview people? Raise your hand really high. Everyone, look around. These are the people that will help you maximize your media. Find them out, seek them out, go to the break and see where their little recording device is. Because everyone, we live in an age where everyone can have a voice and can propagate it. And that's why podcasts and blogs are so powerful. Because you don't have to be a chairwoman and been in the field for 60 years to be able to share your voice. There are corporate run and product run blogs. And those are usually run by people that do some kind of medical education app or device. And you'll see them on Instagram, on Twitter. They'll follow you. They'll comment at you. And it's because they want you to do an interview or a blog for them. There's always NPR and other news networks. And then there is a lot of medical students and pre-med students who have their own blogs, are very interested in medicine, and are looking for mentors. And I think this is where we have an incredible area of influence that we can not only help us help them, but then that they can really help us as well in our media opportunities. And of course, you can always start your own. And I know there is a workshop in a couple of days about the podcasts and doing your own. Videocast is also similarly done as the podcasts, except I would throw out this pearl to always record any talk you do, academic, otherwise. See if the conference will allow you to have that video, because you use these videos to help get you future talks at other places, and it becomes your own content to be able to show what you talk about. Of course, you can always have your YouTube channel, which is as simple as about 10 minutes of setting it up, and then always link to yourself, because that is how you get your hyperlinking and your grade in your your search engine optimization a little bit higher. So just linking it all together, that was a lot in terms of just the different media opportunities, and my ultimate goal is really to inspire you that no matter what you want to do, interviews, as podcasts, do your own blog, do your own article, just be a speaker at various conferences. Whatever you do, you can do it, and it is really as easy as cold submitting to someone and hoping that they give you a little more than the automatic response. Just to tie it on all together, I do think that these are a few very helpful pearls. First is to have an online resume somewhere. It doesn't have to be on your own website if you don't want it. LinkedIn can be fine. Doximity actually offers a service where you can have your own self-name site, like janebrownmd.com, and then it links over to your Doximity profile. There is, of course, FemineM's Speaker Bureau, in which you can have your information there available to anyone looking for speakers on particular topics of your own expertise. Always, always, always hyperlink, which is basically how Google uses their algorithm to figure out how important you are. So the more your articles and your name is linked, the more important you become in their ranks, so you start showing up on their top page. And that means that in your own pieces, you should always relink to things that you have done before. And this is the same concept as with publications. You also try to link in or be linked and referenced by other people's exact same concept. And then always pay attention to your social media. You can have Facebook as a page or personal. Twitter, of course, we all know, hashtag fix17. Instagram, and just note your privacy settings that they are going to be public. LinkedIn, Doximity, there are online doctor reviews, which we all know are a little bit of a farce, but they do exist. So to the rest of the world, they may or may not matter. And then there's also top doc lists, where I think it's notable to say that these lists are dominated by men. And I think part of that is because these lists are created by nominations by each other. So nominate each other. Don't be part of the snub club. Make sure that you do help promote women, link to other women, help retweet other women, because that's how we ultimately can maximize all of our media. Thank you guys very much for your time.